Amen. God is real. That's a wonderful song. Amen. This afternoon, turn your Bible, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. We're going to go there this afternoon for a few minutes of a short message from the Word of God. Amen. That should strengthen our faith and commitment to God as children of God. Amen. If you're visiting with us, you're very honored, Gus, to the audience, and we're thankful to have you with us this afternoon. Chapter 7, let's start at verse number 11. If my people, which are called by my name, is in the title of the sermon. Verse 11, Solomon finished building the temple.
The house of the Lord.
Or the house of God.
And the king's house.
So Solomon finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house.
And all that came into Solomon's mind. All everything
that came to Solomon's mind that he wanted to do. To make the house of the Lord.
And in his own house.
In his own house.
He prophesied. Prosperously effective.
He accomplished everything he wanted to accomplish. Now, and the Lord then appeared to Solomon by night.
And said unto him.
And he says to Solomon, he said, I have heard
thy prayer.
Your prayer.
And have chosen this place to myself. For an house of sacrifice.
Now, notice who he said it to. It was for God. For their purpose of sacrificing to him. For us, the place of worship. Is the church building. This is where we come together for the place of worship. This is God's worship service. That's why it must be conducted in decency and in order. That's why we don't do all that stuff in worship. Because we are in the presence of God. Amen. And this is important to know. That worship service is not for us. Worship service, the object of worship is God. He's making that clear. To Solomon, this place I chose for me. And when we come into worship, we must come in with respect for God in the place of worship. And the Bible talks about how we are to do things decently in order. And in order. That's why at Hollow Height we won't be bass mic and the praise dancing and jumping. Because it's out of order. When we come in here, we come in with respect for God. So that's what's going on here. And verse number 13, he said, If I shut up
that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people,
My people,
which are called by my name.
So God said, I can send penalty, and God can send penalties, just like he can send blessings. So that's why he letting them know that this is my place of worship, Solomon. But I can send pestilence, I can send no rain, I can send locusts. But he said, verse 14, if my people,
which are called by my name.
The people I'm speaking of are the one who wear my name. Shall humble themselves and pray.
And seek my face.
Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven.
And will forgive their sin.
Will forgive their sin. Will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open.
And my ears attentive unto their prayer. That is made in this place.
That time his people were. At that time his people were. Known as children of Israel. They're known as the Israelite. There were no Christians in the Old Testament. These were children of Israel, a Jewish nation. It was a nation of people. You were born into the family of God and circumcised at age 8. That's how you came into the God, because you came in as a nation. So God had given them, and God said, they wearing my name. But he said, now, let's go to Isaiah 62 and the verses number 1. Isaiah 62, verse 1.
For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth.
And notice, he said, and the Gentiles
shall see thy righteousness.
Gentiles, that's non-Jewish people, shall see thy righteousness,
and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name.
Now there's going to be a new name for the Gentile. and which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Gentile, all of us understand this, that in the Old Testament, as I said, God's people was Israel. It was a nation of people. But God was bringing about a plan that would bring Jews and Gentiles into one family, and they all would wear a new name. And the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 3 and the verses 1. Listen with the Bible. This mystery of the Jews and Gentiles coming into one family called the church is recorded in the New Testament. It's prophesied in the old. It's revealed in the new. Amen. It is a mystery on the Old Testament. They did not know what that name was going to be. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1.
For this cause,
Paul said, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Know who is for? The Gentile. For if you've heard of the dispensation
of the grace of
God, which is given to me to you word, how that by
revelation he made known.
This is revelation. Scripture is revelation. So he's going to reveal through the scripture how he made known unto me a mystery
that
he wrote in a few words. This mystery is wrote, it's in words, whereby when you read,
you may understand.
People must read the scripture to know what the mystery was. Read.
Which in other ages was not made
known.
That's
Old Testament. The patriarchal dispensation of Mosaica did not know about this mystery. Notice what he says.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
So Isaiah was prophesying about a new name that was going to occur in the New Testament. Notice what he says now.
That the Gentiles should be
fellow heirs. Now here comes the mystery. That the Gentiles and the Jews would be fellow heirs.
And of the
and
same
of
body.
The same body. Now, the Bible talks about the body is the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. So Christ is the head of the body, and the body is the church. Colossians 1, 18. So he, in verse 24, we know we know that the body is the church. So the mystery was that the Jew and the Gentiles would be in one church.
And partakers of his promise in Christ.
And
by
the they
gospel.
Then all together were partakers. So it went from a Jewish nation of people called the children of Israel to all nations. That's why Jesus, when he was baptized, when he came up from the grave, he said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So the mystery is revealed. Jews and Gentiles are now in the one church. And then after that, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the Bible said they're recorded in the Bible, just Acts chapter 11, verse 26, that they were given a new name. Listen to the book now. Verse 26. Listen to the new name.
And when he had
name.
Found him,
and when he had found him,
he brought him unto Antioch.
Brought him to Antioch.
And it came to pass,
that
a whole year they assembled themselves with the church
and taught much people.
And the disciples
were called what?
Christians. First
Christian. There's the new name. They were called Christians. First in Antioch. The new name has came. It required the death of the Christ in order to have followers of Christ. That's why Christ was not in the Old Testament. Amen. Amen. He was born of the Virgin Mary when he came into, that's when he became the Son of Man or the Son of God. He wasn't the Son of God on the old law. He came and had to be born through Mary, and then he became the Son of Man. Now that he's the Son of Man, he's the Son of God. It became the only begotten, because in the Old Testament, he had not been born through Mary, so he wasn't the begotten. Now, here's why I need you to know that, because the new name required the death of the Christ. That's why you had no Christians on the old law. So now that we got a new name, we understand that the fact that we have a new name, there is a requirement that we maintain integrity of the name. That's why you'll never see on that building out there a different kind of church other than the Church of Christ.
Amen.
Why? That's integrity. It's the integrity of the Christ. The Christ died for the church. The Christ brought the new name. You take Christ out of Christian, you got I-A-N. I ain't nothing. You saying, Brother Brooks, do not underestimate. Somebody said, well, ain't nothing in the name. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. Acts chapter 10 and 4, verse 10 through 12. It's in the Bible. There is something in this name. Every knee will bow to this name, the name of Christ. Amen. The word Christian, the fact that we call ourselves Christians, brings some integrity and honor and respect. And so God is expecting us to wear the name with pride, wear the name with honor, and in the church, and the men who are leaving the church of Christ and taking away from the name, they will answer to God about the name.
Amen.
Somebody say, ain't nothing in the name. Don't ever think there's nothing in the name. Mm. Anytime you go to a church and they take the name Church of Christ off the billboard, you leave it. Mm. Matter of fact, don't even enter into the building. If you walk in there, you see something don't look like the Church of Christ, leave.
Amen.
Praise in my name, Jesus. Right. Christians, we wear that name because it required the crucifixion and the suffering of the Christ. That's the new name. We should not downplay it at all. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And as Christians, we wear the new name, and we are the Church of the Christ. So because we are the Church of the Christ taught us how to worship. He left the message with his disciples, his apostles. That's why we say we worship according to the New Testament pattern. What you're doing, we are following the pattern which Jesus taught. We don't worship like David. David killed goats. Amen, somebody. God sent the Lamb of God. It was Jesus the Christ said, behold the Lamb of God which take away the sins of the world. There was not a goat or a lamb living that could have took away the sins of the world. It was only Jesus the Christ. So therefore we follow the pattern of the New Testament worship. That's why we sing without mechanical instruments of music. I mean, that's why we pray. That's why we give. That's why we don't tithe. We don't tithe. That's why we take the Lord's Supper as commanded in the memorial. And that's why we hear and obey to preach the word of God, because we are New Testament Christians.
Amen.
What are you doing, Brother Brooks? Wearing a new name. A new name is not Baptist. A new name wasn't Methodist. A new name wasn't Catholic. A new name wasn't Pentecostal. That was a day. Pentecost was a day. That's not the new name. They were called Christians first in Antioch. Amen. Now, you say, well, Brother B, what's the emphasis? My emphasis this afternoon is on the fact that because we wear the new name, because we are God's people now, we're not Jewish, we're not Judaism, we are Christians, we wear the Christ name, and so we are his people. So in 2 Chronicles, in verse 14, he said, if my people, which are called by my name,
shall humble themselves.
This still applies to us. Number one, we got to understand that the word of name Christian, it requires for to do as the Jews. God still holds the same requirements. I'm going to show you in the New Testament that we're still required to humble ourselves. We're still required, he said, to humble ourselves and pray. We're required to pray. We're required to seek his face, to turn from our wicked way. God said, then and only then
will I hear from heaven.
So this is very serious. So we got to humble. Let me get New Testament options here. Now, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, briefly. I'm going to show you that. Under the new law, as Christian, we got to do the same thing Isaiah was saying to the Jews. Likewise, you younger,
submit yourselves unto the elder.
And he said, now, what you young folks, submit yourself unto the elder.
Yea,
all of you be subject one to another. Notice he said, put humility on like clothes. Cover yourself with it. And notice he said, and because here's why.
For God resisted the proud.
Here's why Christians should be humble people. For God resisted the proud and give it grace
to the humble.
You know, when people are dogging you out, we ought to stay low. We are the floor mat. We are the where they wipe their feet. That's why when people say, you ain't going to dog me, but understand this. God said, if you wear my name, you are to be humble. People can beat up on us, and we should allow it and not fight back. Because what happens when you're going through some things, and this can happen on your job and with your family or with friends or relationship or whatever, when people take you and start stamping on your name, you just keep waiting. You just wait, and somebody say, well, why are you putting up with that? Why do you say, well, I'm waiting on my grace? What do you say? Because the Bible said God resists the proud, but when you are humble, he's going to give you grace. God's going to bring you through like a shining light.
Amen.
And everybody say, how did he put up with it? I done had that happen to me. Folks just dog me out in front of folks, and I just sit there like I was a little lamb, didn't say nothing. And somebody asks, what are you doing, bro? How are you going to let them do your life? I said, I'm waiting on grace. They don't know about the scripture like I do. And next thing I know, God was moving. And when God moves, he moves. And if God be for us, be careful. When God is for you, don't be a who. Because he said, who can be against you? Because God moves who's out of the way. And sometimes he stretch them out. God can move your enemies, man. He can come at you. They can come at you one way and leave seven different ways. He asked the sons of Sceva. He whooped them naked. One, amen, somebody. But you see, a devil can whoop you. But if you got God, he can't touch you. Humble yourself. Notice this. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, and
he
will
exalt you in due time.
Cast your care upon him, for
he cared for you.
Now, humble yourself that God going to give you what you need. Take the low position. Serve God. So if we wear the name, we are to be humble servants. Amen. Y'all got that? Number two, we must be praying. So get 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. The eyes of the Lord over who? The righteous, and ears are open
unto their prayers.
That's what who is he listening to?
The righteous
people who are on the right path. Go to James chapter 5 and verses number 15.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Now, what's going to save the sick?
The prayer of faith.
A prayer of a believer shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if you have committed sin, they shall be forgiven. See, prayer has power. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. Spiritual healing can take place through prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of who?
A righteous man.
Availeth much. So those of us who wear the name, Christian, we should be humble. We should be praying. And number three, we should seek God's face. Amen. What do you mean by that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you, Matthew chapter 6. And here's what I'm saying. The people this morning, we should have 300 folk here that wear the name Christian. You have 300 this morning, we should have 300 back tonight, because they're seeking the pleasure and the favor of God. When you're seeking the pleasure and the favor of God, then you serve God, he said, in this place. What is that? That's assembly. We come in the assembly. Now, if this place was outside under the pecan tree, you should be under the pecan tree. Because that's a designated place for the assembly of the people who wear the new name. Brother and sister, we come in here. And I'm going to say this because I know people don't want to hear it, but I don't believe folk going to go to heaven who are not faithful. I don't believe that. And I'm not going to change it. Because nobody can convince me that 30 minutes of hearing the word of God is not beneficial to this Christian life you got to live and wearing this name. If nobody here can convince me of that, there's no sense in trying. You can't tell me the Astros game is better than the word of God.
Amen.
You can't tell me you cutting your yard is better than the word of God. You can't tell me laying up in your lazy boy at home at 3:30 in the morning when people are coming together and assembling and God's people are asking for prayer and they're confessing their faults that we ought to be at home, not there with them. I don't see it. I can't believe it. I'm not going to believe it.
Amen.
And I'm never going to stop preaching it. Somebody said, brother, you running folk off with afternoon. Well, I'd rather for them to run than for God to say I'm in wrong. I'm never going to encourage people not to worship.
I'm never doing that. I'm just making that statement. And here's the other thing about being a preacher. You preach the word in season out, whether people like it or don't like it. That's my job. But think about this. The charge is between me and God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judge the quick and the dead that is appearing. I'm going to err on the side of being right with God and not on the side of the people. Why? Brother Brooke, you tell me, y'all, who can give me a legitimate reason to give a member of the church who got to fight the devil tomorrow that he or she shouldn't be back for 30 minutes sermon from the Lord? I can't see it. What are you saying? That's seeking the face of the Lord. That's seeking the favor of the Lord. And Jesus said this, you seek first the kingdom and all these other things shall be added unto you. Then the last thing he said, turn from the wickedness. 1 Peter 3:8. Because we are wearing a new name, we have to turn from wickedness. Listen to the Bible.
Finally, be all of one mind. Having compassion one for another.
Love as brethren.
Be pitiful.
Be courteous.
Not rendering evil for evil. Or railing for railing. But contrarywise, blessing.
Knowing that you
are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing.
All right.
For he that will love life and see good days,
Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Same thing.
His lips speak no guile.
Let him excuse evil.
That's good.
The same thing, Job. Remember that? Devil went to Job and he said, he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, no, you got a hedge around it. He was upright and eschewed evil. In other words, it's kind of like dodgeball. Eschewed evil might, because he's going to roll evil stuff in front of us. He's going to roll it. But those of us who are Christians got to learn to excuse. You got to dodge that opportunity, that thing to go south, go to the left, go to the right. Do what you got to do to not fall into that trap called sin. It's enticing. What he's doing is enticing you to fall for the trap. But God is saying, Peter said, you need to excuse. Let him excuse. Move from evil. Go from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Here's why.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous,
and
his ears are open unto their prayers.
But
the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
That's why. It's one thing when I turn my face from you, but a whole different problem when God says, I don't even want to look at you. That's disgusting. You understand the statement here? The Lord is against them. He turns his face against them that do what? Evil. So what is he saying in 2 Chronicles? Those of us who wear his name should be humble, praying, seeking God's favor, and servants who are turning and excusing evil. And here come your blessing. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is better than you knowing the blessing being, I'm closing. So if I said I'm closing, everybody would say amen. And then I say, this your blessing. Nobody said nothing. Let me try that again. Here come your blessing.
Amen.
I ain't closing.
Amen.
Come on, y'all. Nobody said amen.
Amen.
I'm closing. But look at what somebody said. Boy, y'all are some terrible Christians, I'll tell you. At least you're honest Christians. Right? But look at this. Can y'all look at the last verse, verse 14 again? If my people,
which are called by my name,
shall
humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked
ways.
Here you go.
He's going to list. Here's what I'm going to do. Then
will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins.
In heaven, I'm going to hear what comes up to it. From heaven, I'm hearing what you're talking about. I'm going to forgive your sins.
And will heal their land.
I'm going to heal the land you're living in. Now my eyes
shall be open.
Going to be open.
And my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place.
You say, can I have your attention? Please. Y'all heard somebody say, you be on an airplane. Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention, please? God is saying, you have my attention. What did you do? humble. Come on, y'all. I'm going to throw 30 more minutes. Y'all can't listen to these. I'm going back up there if I don't hear it. Number one.
Humble yourself.
20 more minutes. Somebody's speaking up quick over here. Well, let's do it together. Okay. Number one. Humble. Two.
Praying.
Seek his face. And?
Turn from the wicked.
Now, my reader, boy, he got on it quick. He started reading that scripture. Dude said, I don't want no 20 more minutes of this, huh? And then what we going to get?
Forgiveness of sin.
He going to have what?
Forgiveness of sin.
I'm going to hear you from
heaven.
Come on, song leader. He going to hear me from
heaven.
What else? Go read it. It's right there on your paper. He going to forgive our sins.
He
going to take care of the place we live in. Mm-hmm. He going to bless us. And then he says, I'm going to be watching. My eyes going to be open. And then he said, I'm going to what? My ears. You have gotten my attention. That's good. When God say that, when I preach right there, when I preach, God is attention. And then what happened? Read on.
For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever.
That's the worship. Well, everything we do, y'all, we want God to be pleased with our worship. Amen. Isn't that good? So this is a good lesson this afternoon. If you're here and you're not a Christian, oh, my goodness, what you going to do when you need the Lord? What are you going to do when you need the attention of his ears? You need him to hear you. You say, brother, what I do? You hear the gospel. You hear the story of Jesus, the Christ, how he loved you and how he suffered on that cross. How he hung there 6 hours. That shouldn't get old to us. It should be something that reminds us. It cost the Christ the death of the Christ. It caused the suffering of the Christ, the beating of the Christ. The Christ had to wear a crown of thorns. The Christ was spit upon. The Christ was mocked. The Christ was talked about. The Christ was hung between two thieves. The Christ had nails in his hand. The Christ had nails in his feet. The Christ hung 6 hours on the cross. And without his death, there would be no Christians. And because you are a Christian, you wear that name humbly. You wear that name praying. You wear that name, what else?
Seeking his favor.
Seeking his favor. And you wear that name
turning
from
wicked ways.
Eschewing evil. And then your blessing will be, God will say, I'm going to listen from heaven. That's where I'm going to be. And I'm going to turn my ear to your attention. And whatever you ask, God is able to provide. And maybe you're here today and you say, well, because I want to be a Christian. Well, you got to believe that Christ did all that for you. That he was buried in a borrowed tomb, that he resurrected early Sunday morning. With all of your heart, you got to repent of your sin. You got to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men. And you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Meaning you got to go through baptism. That's commanded by the Christ. Mark 16:15-16, Matthew 28:18. You got to be the Christ said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from dying in their sin, rising up a new creature wearing the new name. Call yourself a Christian. And then you're a member of Christ's church, which is the church of Christ. And no other name will satisfy God. If you're here today and you need prayer, you want to come to the Lord, you need to come through confession. If you're a member of the church and you've been gone a while, don't believe you can just come back without asking God to forgive you. You got to ask God to forgive you. You got to say, Lord, please forgive me. And church, pray for me. That's all you got to do. Don't let the devil keep you in your seat when you need to restore your relationship with God, because certainly you want him hearing your prayer. You want his attention. Then those who are not members of the church of Christ, we'll baptize you tonight. We got clothes. We got everything you need to baptize. You're members of the church that you need prayer for something you're going through. The Lord's eyes are over the righteous. The righteous has his attention. We can pray with you, pray for you. Wouldn't you come as together we stand and sing?